Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" And the lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. So even though you did not hear all of the readings for today in this service, I want you to know that it was like a connect the dots puzzle. It was all there, all the way through. But what I found was that even as I looked over the poem from John O'Donohue, I am a great fan of John O'Donohue, that also will help you to connect the dots to this gospel, perhaps in a new way. We refer to that gospel as the story of the parable of the Good Samaritan, even though nowhere does it call him good. We do that. And most of us would like to place ourselves in the shoes of the Samaritan rather than the Levite or the priest who didn't stop. It's just that sometimes the Samaritan's shoes just don't quite fit us. Would we really stop to help a stranger by the side of the road or at our borders or on a city street, say, in Springfield? And you know, in this story, the comparative person in our century to that Samaritan would be anyone very different from who we are. Even someone we usually think of as an intruder or an enemy, say, an immigrant, or someone from a different faith, say, a Muslim, or maybe somebody from another country who we feel that we are at odds with, say, an Iranian. And those people would be the hero of Jesus' story if he were telling that story today. So those shoes just really don't fit us either, unless we're really willing to see those people in a new light, a more compassionate light, an authentically human light. This is a parable in which Jesus casts a shining light on our divisions in whichever century we hear this story. And we should be hearing it as if for the first time every single time we hear it. So I thought it would be interesting today if we might try to fit into the shoes of the lawyer. Certainly, we could fit into the shoes of a lawyer. After all, he asks a very reasonable question, and we are nothing but reasonable. He says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, I have to say, I don't think this guy was actually trying to test Jesus. I don't think he was trying to crucify him or set him up. And I had enough other biblical scholars say the same thing, so I'm okay with that. Because this is not a rhetorical question. It's a what I would call an authentically human question. It's a question that most of us have struggled with at various times in our lives. It's a question we ought to ask ourselves, I think, every morning, as the only way that we can really get to the depth of the answer that God would have us get to. This is a question that gets to the central purpose of our faith. What do I do next to live a wholehearted, faithful life, pleasing to God, full of God's grace and love? And Jesus answers him, "What is written in the law? And what do you read there?" Now, Jesus had a whole other frame of reference for this law than the Levites. You need to understand, the priest and the Levite were just following the law. But for Jesus, there's something that's a higher authority. And so the lawyer actually answers him with the central belief and the prayer for all faithful Jewish people. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And you know where else you can read that? You can read it on page 324 of the Book of Common Prayer, because we start off the Holy Eucharist, Rite 1, with exactly those words. It's referred to as the Shema, and it's a daily prayer to guide us faithfully through every single day. And then it engages us through the day with follow-up questions like, how does what I'm doing, thinking, or saying right now show my love of God and God's ways? Or, I may be putting my whole mind into something, but where's my heart? Or is what I'm now saying or doing hurting or helping my soul? Yeah, how often do we think about our souls during the day? Healthy, holy soul talk and action leads us into the light of God's grace and joy. But when we lean toward our biases or our prejudices or our certainties or our privilege, our shadow sides show up and begin to narrow the field. Another question might be, am I using my strengths for good? Are my actions opening up doors and windows for people around me, or am I narrowing the opportunities for others? And then the lawyer asks the question that places all of us at the foot of the cross. So who is my neighbor? And a heartbeat after that ought to be the question, and what is God calling me to do next? Every single one of us has to answer that question for ourselves every single day. We meet neighbors and strangers everywhere we go. And I want you to know that Jesus in the Bible talks way more about strangers than they talk about neighbors. Sometimes we bump into those folks at work or in the market. Sometimes we go out of our way not to see them. And even then, they show up in our souls as the strangers Jesus is pointing us towards. And we have to answer that question as well as a community of faith, which will demand conversations from us. Yep, we'll actually have to talk about these things. And we won't always agree. And that's okay. Because we're Episcopalians. And that's the way we're supposed to be. We find our middle here in our worship and our prayer. But we don't discount those who believe differently or think differently. And we have to have those hard conversations. And that's where our faith comes in. Words of our faith like restoration, renewal, redemption, reconciliation, and resurrection all matter in these conversations. All are words that fit times of extraordinary change and transition and extraordinary opportunities. Now, Jesus actually tells us over and over again who our neighbors are. He tells us they are the poor, whether it's near or far. Widows and orphans, those people who are most vulnerable across our country and other countries. People who are in danger, victims of violence. You know, Jesus never said it was going to be easy to follow him. We have to work hard at it every single day. And sometimes we don't measure up to the mark, and we fall down. Your psalm this morning helps you to know that you are not alone at those times, that the good news is that God is with you. God is very near you. And we have to ask questions like the lawyer that make us uncomfortable at times. We have to answer the questions with the truth and faith that is known to God and you alone. And then comes the end of the gospel passage today. And it gives us the answer that points to all other answers that are pleasing to God. Jesus says, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" And the lawyer said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." That word, mercy, was like a neon sign for me this week. And I decided maybe that meant I was supposed to dig into it a little deeper. And I did. I Googled the word mercy, and all kinds of amazing things and readings came up. And so I would suggest to you all that you dig into that word a little farther this week, because it's more than just the surface definition that we give that word. It opens up all kinds of places, and I will tell you, it pushed me beyond my comfort zones in a lot of ways, and I'm sure it will you too. The part about being authentically human and merciful is that we have to actually have the ability to step into the shoes of another, either a neighbor or a stranger. And mercy is part of it. But you remember, we all started here as strangers. All of us. This morning, I had a brand new person come to the 8 o'clock service. A stranger. And I thought, this is the best thing that could have happened for me this morning. And it was delightful. She shared that, and I think she might be back. But having a stranger in our midst this morning was important. It is how we choose to connect with each other, or not, where our authentic humanity comes to light. As Jane Goodall says, what you do makes a difference. And it does. It makes a difference everywhere. But she says, and you have to decide what kind of difference you want to make. And that's where God pushes us outside of our comfort zone sometimes. And then, the words that I love best in this gospel, then we just have to go and do likewise. Whoever it is we see in the world and go, oh, I wish I could do that. Oh, that was something I need to pay attention to. Anybody we respect or admire, go and do likewise. And that's the good news. Because in that moment, gratitude and generosity will overflow the borders of your souls.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.